Talking about making disciples on Wednesday, and some really good things have been coming forth. Hope you've been learning a lot, and we're not just talking about it just for the sake of talking about it. We want to put it into practice, encourage people to step out either to be discipled in a greater way or to disciple others. And so we'll continue on with this in August, and the Lord's got some things for us in September that we'll do at that time. But we want to continue tonight with this theme. And so one of the things we want to talk about tonight is praying for those we're discipling. And a good place to start with that is in Paul's prayers. Paul's got different prayers in Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, Philippians 1, Colossians 1. He's got some prayers in Thessalonians. But I want to look specifically tonight at the prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, turn there. Ephesians 1, verse 15. Just pray tonight that you'll be refreshed and strengthened and encouraged here tonight. Starting in verse 15. For this reason, I'm reading Amplified Version. For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, the people of God, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets, and in the deep and intimate knowledge of him, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope of which he has called you, and how rich in his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and the world which are to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has appointed him the universal and supreme head of the church, a headship exercised throughout the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. For in that body lives the full measure of him who makes everything complete and who fills everything everywhere with himself. So in this is a power-packed prayer. I mean, there's no way I can cover this all in one night, but I'll just do my best and see what we can get into here. But looking at verse 15, 16, in those verses, he gives us two characteristics of what a disciple should look like. He says, a disciple should be strong in faith and strong in their love for people. So that's a good thing to be praying, you know, as the goal, end goal of when we're making disciples of what we're looking for. These prayers can be prayed for those you're discipling. You can pray this for your spouse. You can pray this for your family. Children's workers could pray this for the children in that area, the youth ministry. I'm certainly praying this for the congregation of Good News Church. And so two characteristics: a disciple is strong in faith and their love for people. And so we want them growing in these two areas. And then he talks about giving thanks for people. And that's something that we don't think about a whole lot sometimes, but we are truly blessed by the people that are in our lives. Thank God for our family. Thank God for friends. Thank God for church folks. And so we should be praying for them. We should be praying these prayers. And then not only praying these prayers, but as you finish these, when you finish praying for them, then ask this question: Lord, what can I do to be a blessing to them? I mean, it's always nice when you got someone that cares about you, does something extra special. Card. And if it's a card with some money in it, it doesn't hurt. Does something for you, says they're praying for you. One of the ministries I was in, I used to be involved with, they used to send me just a postcard every so often, maybe once a quarter, said they were praying for me. And you know, that little postcard meant a lot to me, knowing there's people somewhere else praying for me. So what can I do? Asking God. So praying for them. But what can I do to be a blessing to them? All right, let's get into the various parts of the prayer. The first one is he says he's asking that God may grant them a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of revelation. What is that? The spirit of wisdom is wisdom or insight that is not naturally attained. So it's God's insight. Wouldn't you like to have God's insight? It's God's insight. It's not natural, just natural understanding. It's from Him. It's insight. And then it's the spirit of revelation. What is revelation? Revelation is like you have a window in your house and you can't see out of it because there's curtains in front of it. But if you were to open those curtains, it would be revealed what's on the other side. I've got all kind of windows in my house. One of my favorite windows is in our bedroom, kind of looks out into our front yard and kind of a magnolia tree and something else there, you know. And so I like to be look, you know, so I open the shutters and look out and see what's out there. Well, that's what revelation is. Revelation is an opening of your eyes to see things. So God wants you to have wisdom. God wants you to have revelation of things. And so there's two parts to this. The first part is He wants you to have wisdom and revelation of Him. And this is important because there's a lot of religion out there. God's been lied about. A lot of wrong teaching. And so we need to have the right perspective and the right revelation of Him. You know, one of the big revelations is God's a good God. It's the devil that's out there. You want a revelation of the devil? He's out there to steal, kill, and destroy. God is for you. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Every good and perfect gift comes from my Father and lights above. He's a good God. He's not mad at you. He forgives you. He's not condemning you. He's not out to get you. He's not looking to punish you. He's looking to bless you. And these are all the kind of revelations that we teach. They're things that we've been revealed to us. We're teaching here. And we're praying that you'll get it. Because it's pretty important. How you view God has everything to do with how you live your life and how things work for you. And if you have the wrong view of God, then you're gonna blame Him for bad things, or blame Him for things that He has nothing to do with, and it's really the enemy. So we need revelation. We need to have the right perspective of God to see how He really is. It's His goodness that leads man to repentance, not condemnation. Now, so we need to be praying that for each other about having a spirit of wisdom, spirit of revelation of God. But then we need to be praying for, and I like what Brother Hagin used to say, the spirit of seeing and knowing. Having a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of revelation in our lives. How many need that? Did you know that God knows how to do your job better? God's got ideas for you to maybe have some kind of invention. And I'm praying about that one all the time. I mean, that would be that'd be great. One day someone walks in and says, Pastor, here's a check for $100,000. This is a tithe off my invention. I dream about that. No. He knows how to start a ministry. He knows how to parent. He knows how to have a better marriage. He knows how to make money. He knows how to get a promotion. He knows how to take care of our bodies. And this is a story that I've shared over and over, but I can't help not share it because it always encourages me. I hope it encourages you. I was praying one time for a service. This was years ago, back when we were meeting on Wrightsboro Road and Shopping Center. Praying before the service and just kind of praying in the Spirit and, you know, talking to God, praying about, you know, what's going to happen at the service, the ministry to the people, Lord, all the different things. And then I'm just kind of praying in tongues, and then I've just learned to get quiet and just listen to Him, listen to the Holy Spirit, and, you know, is He going to say something about what's going to... Sometimes I'll see things about the service, or all kind of things will happen. Well, during that particular time, He said, I want you to make this move with your 401k plan. I had it in like, they have different options in the company that I work for, and you have like a fixed part and, you know, growth fund, and then, or you can invest it in company stock. So three or four different options. And it was always just so really complicated, you know, of what to do. They send you this big booklet on all the things and what to do, you know, and you don't really don't know what to do. People just kind of follow each other. But I'm praying about that, and I had it like in a fixed fund, and the Spirit of God said to me, I want you to move it out of that fixed fund and put it all into the stock fund. And, you know, you don't know if you've had too much pizza the night before, too much coffee. You don't know if that's you, if that's someone else. What is that? And so I went to talk to Susie about it, and I said, Susie, this is what the Lord just said to me. And she said, well, you know, let's do it. Let's follow Him. We've learned to do that. So she was in agreement with it. So that Monday, I went ahead and made the move. Little did I know, within 3 weeks, there was a merger announced. Another larger company was buying our company, and our stock just jumped. And that one move was like a $15,000 gain. Now, that's wisdom. That's supernatural insight. Even though I worked in accounting and in my position, I had knew nothing of this merger. I didn't know, have any. Yeah, so it was inside. This is the legal kind of insider training. But I'm saying this is available, but a lot of times we're just not, first of all, in tune, or we don't think in, you know, and I've got some things where I think, where I of course, I missed it. I'm not going to share those stories tonight. But, you know, but heard from God, followed Him, and that was just supernatural insight and wisdom for Him. He's got wisdom for us. He's got, there's areas in our lives where there's curtains blocking out the light. And so He says here, we need to be praying this for each other, praying this for ourselves. And so one of the things I'm confessing over this congregation, I'm confessing over myself, over my family, we have the spirit of seeing and knowing. We can see behind the scenes. Another situation we had here at the church, and we were meeting in this Augusta Prep, and we had been looking, we had done a stewardship campaign, and we're raising money to either buy land or to buy a building. And we have looked at every piece of property in the area. Every building, every piece of land. We knew every real estate person. And it was just getting ridiculous, so frustrating. Things that we were looking at, nothing. We put an offer on one, bid on one piece of land. We were the second bidder. We just, you know, so close on that one. I'm really glad that didn't work out. But anyway, just all kind of things happening. And how many know that could be so frustrating? But we just began to just pray, just begin to seek God. God, you have wisdom here. You're going to show us what to do. And I'm just going to just trust in you, go into the Word and to your promises. And so one day, Susan and I were just talking about, well, where should we go to lunch? And we were both in agreement about going to Longhorns over here on Washington Road. And, you know, and even the little things matter. So we go to Longhorns, and we're sitting there, and I look over, and I see the associate pastor from the church that had this building here. I see him sitting over there. And how many times, I mean, at restaurants, I mean, you don't always do this. Sometimes you just wave at somebody, just say hey to them, depending on how much you know them, you know, smile at them, whatever. I saw him, and I just leapt up out of my chair, went over there and started talking to him. And I just was being friendly and just, you know, what's going on, what's happening. And then he said to me, did you know that that building over on Warren Road's for sale? Ding, you know. And through that conversation and then talking with the pastor and through a negotiation and all of that, we purchased this building. He's got wisdom where you should even go to lunch. When you don't know what to do. And it's important to get counsel, get wisdom, talk to people. But the Spirit of God knows the direction to go. And so, you know, spend some time in the Word if you're having to make a decision and you don't know what to do. What are some promises from the Word? Spend some time, you know, praying in the Spirit. Spend some time listening. Get some good counsel from some faith people. But I expect to hear from God. I expect that Spirit of seeing and knowing to operate in my life. The next one is the hope of His calling. Now He's got a hope for you. Amen? Turn to your neighbor. He's got hope for you. You need to know that. Because sometimes you feel... Anybody here ever feel hopeless? Ever felt hopeless? Hope is confident expectation. It's expectation that what He's promised you is going to come to pass. Well, He's got a hope of His calling. He's got a hope for us and for our lives. And we can look forward to either, you know, that calling, walking in that calling. Now, the word calling means invitation. He's inviting us to do something. And there's two parts to this invitation. The first part is the general will of God, which is for all believers. He's called us to the Great Commission. He's called us, every believer now, not just the pastor or you know, executive pastor or a leader in the church, youth minister or whatever. No, all of us are invited. And you got to choose to accept this calling. All of us are invited to take part, our part, in the Great Commission. That means reaching out to people with the gospel and making disciples. So that's the first part of it. And so we need to be praying for that for people, that they'll accept the calling they have on their lives. Praying that for the church. Praying that for whom I'm discipling. But then there's a second part is the specific calling. And that's the calling that God has for you, life, your life, your vocation. And anybody here like Jeremiah 29:11? Let's put that up. Jeremiah 29:11. Oh man, I love this. This is one of those verses you could put on your mirror, look at every day. It's just so encouraging. And again, it goes to God's heart towards you, His attitude, how He feels about you. He is a good God. He's got an amazing plan for our lives, an amazing calling. Everybody say, I'm called. Say this, I'm called of God. For I know the plans I have for you. God's got plans for you. God's got amazing plans for you. Exciting plans. Not boring or dull or just getting by. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I just like that. He's just declaring this. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. We're people of hope. You know, we say this all the time here. Your future is bright. God's got amazing things for you. And we've talked about this many times, and we've said this, that in heaven, there's a blueprint of your life. You know, for Matt Judd, there's a blueprint he has of my life and what my life is to look like. And I want, when I get to heaven, not anytime soon, but when I, unless Jesus is coming back, but when I get to heaven, I want my life to back up into that blueprint and for Him to say, well done, you fulfilled the plan. He's got that for us. And see, it kind of all works together because the Spirit of seeing and knowing is going to help you find out this calling. But you've got to be open to it. You've got to choose to accept the invitation. You know, those other prayers that we pray, prayers of consecration, these are prayers I pray all the time. Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done. I don't want to just do my thing. We'll just say Proverbs, there is a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is death. Man's got his ways, but God's got a better way. He's created each one of us to do something unique and something special, and He wants you to know it. He doesn't want it to be a mystery. Now, He's not going to reveal it necessarily all at one time. The calling is a process. That's where I like what the Bible says, the steps of a righteous person are ordered of the Lord. What you need to know now is the next step. And you don't want to get ahead of Him. It's a step-by-step process. So Lord, reveal to me, show me what is this next step. And then as He reveals it to you, step out and be obedient. And if He's spoken something to you in the past and you've been disobedient, go back and do that thing. Get back on track. But this is something we want to be praying again for our disciples, that they know take ownership of the Great Commission, ownership of making disciples and reaching out, but then also that they would know the hope of their calling specifically for them. The next part of the prayer, we have a glorious inheritance. Now thank God if all it was is when we die we go to heaven. When I do a funeral or a memorial service, one of the things I do at that funeral, of course I talk about Jesus. I talk about being born again and, you know, that we're not saved by works and we're saved by faith and all the different things about that. But one of the things I love to do is just to talk about heaven for a minute. And I use, and if you just what they have in the Scriptures, not much, but you just share that and it is an amazing picture of what heaven is like. And really, you know, He doesn't want to give us much more because we'll be thinking so much of that, we're not going to be any good here. But it's an amazing, I mean, how do you even fathom a place without sickness or disease? How do you fathom that no death? I mean, nobody killing anybody, nobody stealing, no one, you know, cussing, no one chewing anybody out. No division, no strife, no loneliness. I mean, it's amazing. Just the life of God. No barriers. So if our inheritance, our glorious inheritance, was just that, that would be more than enough. But how many know He's got an inheritance for us here on the earth? We call it the abundant life found in John 10:10. And it's a life overflowing with good things. Now, it's not perfection, and it's not everything always working out for you. But He's got a glory inheritance for you here right now. I love Psalm 103, verse 1. Oh man, I love this. Psalm 103, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Let's put it up there. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Don't forget about all the benefits. Who forgives all your sins. Woo! Everybody go, woo!
Woo!
Forgives all your sins. Heals all your diseases. Redeems your life from the pit. Anybody need some redeeming from the pit tonight? New King James says, redeems your life from destruction. I mean, the enemy's trying to plot and kill, steal, and destroy, and we've been redeemed. Crowns you with love and compassion. Satisfies your desire with good things, so your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, I'm 53. I need to be confessing this a little bit more now. Youth is renewed like the eagles. soaring, flying high. We got an inheritance. And it's available for us right now. And so we need to be praying for people in our lives, praying that they'll know this inheritance. And I'll give you this promise here at Good News Church. We're going to teach you all about your inheritance. The last part, I'm kind of flying through this because I want to take some time to pray here at the end. Jesus has defeated the devil. He defeated him 2,000 years ago. Yes. And he's given us all power and authority. Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is Lord over the heavens, the earth, and under the earth, meaning hell. Colossians 2, verse 13. This is good. Message translation. When you were stuck in your old sin-dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it. All sins forgiven. The slate wiped clean. The old arrest warrant canceled and nailed to the cross. He stripped all spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets. That's a pretty good victory. He defeated the devil. He took back the keys to the kingdom. And Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. Strip the devil of that authority that was given to him in the garden by Adam. And Jesus has it now. But I've got some good news today. In Matthew 28, when he said, go, he delegated that authority to the believers. He delegated that authority to us. So the power over the devil, the victory that Jesus won 2,000 years ago, we're to walk that victory out in our lives and help others to walk that out as well. The devil is not bigger than God. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Now he's going to come at you like a roaring lion. He's going to try to do these smoke screens and do all these different things to make you think he's bigger than God. He's going to say, it's not going to work this time. It's not going to happen. But I tell you, you go to the Word, what the Word promised you is true. What God said to you is yes and amen. He is faithful who promised. What He promised you, He's going to fulfill. It will happen. Don't give up. Don't quit. The devil is defeated. I can't give you a time frame, but I just know victory is ours. And so the enemy is trying to get you to listen to his lies. He is a liar, constantly telling us lies to get us off the Word and off what the Spirit of God has said to us. In Ephesians there it says Jesus is seated in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father. Well, we're in Him. Ephesians also says that we're seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ. It says that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So I like this part. Let's go over and read Mark 16. And so we're praying for people around us. We're praying for people in the church. They'll know Jesus won this victory over the enemy. And then that authority that Jesus has, He's delegated to the church. We pray for those in our lives that they'll walk in this authority. Look at what Mark 16, verse 15 says. And then God told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs. These miraculous signs. Is that in your something like that in your Bible? These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. Talk to me before you handle snakes. And if you drink anything poisonous, you really need to pray over all your food. It won't hurt them. I wish it said something about taking out calories. That would be a good, but it's not in there though. It won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. We don't do the work, but Jesus works through us. That authority, that power works through us. When I flip that switch right there and the lights come on, I'm just flipping the switch and the power's, it's sending the power, turning the lights on. But the power's somewhere else. We're a conduit for God's power. He's the one that does it. We just open our hearts and using our authority in the name of Jesus. Place their hands on the sick, they will be healed. And when the Lord had finished talking with them, He was taken up into heaven, sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand, and the disciples went out everywhere and preached. The Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. So this right here in Ephesians 1, it's a great outline to pray. But it's a great outline to use to disciple somebody. The principles in there are all the principles that believers need to be growing in. But we need to be praying these prayers over the people that are entrusted to us. And so here's kind of a recap. Thank God for those He has entrusted to you. Pray that they grow strong in their faith and their love for others. Pray that the Lord would grant them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Pray this over your kids. Pray they know the hope of their calling. Pray that they know the riches of the inheritance that they have in the saints. And pray that they have a revelation that Jesus defeated the devil 2,000 years ago and has given the church power and authority. And I'm closing up a little bit early here. And I want us to end tonight with some prayer. Everybody, let's just stand right now. And I want us to take some time to pray for those. Maybe you're discipling somebody right now. I want you to pray for your kids. I want you to pray for other people in the church. Just follow the Holy Spirit. But let's just take some time to pray. And I want to encourage you to continue to do this. This would be a good thing to add to your daily prayers. Again, don't get in some kind of ritual or memorized prayer. You can just take one of these points and let the Holy Spirit kind of lead you. But this is the things that I want for this church. I want for Good News Church. I want us to be able to fulfill this vision here. I want to raise up people that are empowering people to give life. I want to raise up disciples who make disciples. I want to be a church that's fulfilling the Great Commission. I want to be a church where God's love is in demonstration. I want to be a church where the power of God is. I want to be a church where there's miracles. I want to be a church where there's resurrection power, where life is there. Real relationships. So Father in heaven, first of all, we just give You praise tonight. We give You glory. We give You honor. Thank You, Father. We give You praise. We give You glory. Thank You for helping us. Thank You for showing us things. Lord, this would be a church of people that are strong in faith and strong in their love for people. We're growing up in all things. We're maturing. But Lord, let Your love be here. Let Your love just flow through the members of this church. Anytime any guest or anybody comes into this building or comes in contact with the people of Good News Church, that the love of God will just come pouring out of the people of Good News Church. And that love never fails. Acceptance, graciousness, kindness. So thank You for that, Father. Give thanks for the people of Good News Church. Thank You for these precious people. Thank You, Father, for the families. Thank You for the marriages. Thank You for the kids. Thank You for all of them, Father. Thank You for Your plans for them in the name of Jesus. Lord, that they may have that spirit of seeing and knowing. that they may have wisdom and revelation. Open up the curtains, Father, that they may be able to see, that light may come into their hearts, light may come into their lives, they may be able to see things. Give them wisdom in every area. They know what to do, when to do it, how to do it. They're in the right place at the right time with the right people saying the right things. Thank you for revelation, knowledge coming, wisdom coming, not by natural means, but by supernatural means. Give them wisdom in every area. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Even tonight, speaking to people, showing them things to come, showing them things in the future. Lord, I know there's some people making some decisions about things and they don't have all the knowledge. I just pray nothing hidden that won't be revealed. Reveal it to them. Show it to them. Show them the direction to go. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for that, for the knowing the hope of our calling. Father, I pray for the people here and people watching by live streaming, the people of Good News Church. Lord, that they would take ownership of the Great Commission. They would be people of outreach. They'd be people making disciples. Although that's just part of our culture here. But Lord, I also pray that they may know the specific hope of their calling. What have you called them to do? Show them the next step, opening up their eyes to see. Thank you for that, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for that they would know their glorious inheritance, what they have, who they are in Christ. Know the riches of that inheritance. Grow up in all things, walk in that. Lord, that they are blessed to be a blessing. That they dispense that inheritance to those around us. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that we walk in our authority, walk in our power, the power that you've given us. That power strengthens us, that power works in us, that power works through us. When we show up on the scene, you show up on the scene. Oh, we thank you for it. We give you praise. We give you glory.